agenda item.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Present.
Ms. Matuszewski?
Here.
Mr. Gregory?
Present.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Present.
Ms. Weldon?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Kels?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. There is no special order of business tonight. Approval of the minutes of December 19, 2016. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know that I found any. Maybe someone else did, but I didn't mark anything, so I must be very happy about the minutes. Thank you.
Do you want to move to approve them?
Oh, yes, I move approval. I thought you were asking me if I was going to edit it. No, I move approval of December 19th, regular assembly meeting.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Thank you. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Mayor, I have one change, and that would be on the consent agenda ordinances for introduction. Item C, Ordinance 2016-43 regarding sobering centers and emergency shelters. I just want to advise that my recommendation is that ordinance go to a committee of the whole prior to a public hearing, probably scheduled along with the camping ordinance would be a good time.
So Ordinance 2016-43 under item C, you're recommending that it goes to the
committee of the whole before public hearing.
Okay. Any other agenda changes, Mr. Manager?
No further changes.
Thank you. Next part is public participation on non-agenda items. This is limited to 20 minutes. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As Ms. Sika pointed out, 10 people. So we'll have 2 minutes apiece. When you come up here, will you please state your name and your address? And when the light, is there a warning?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yellow. 30-second.
30-second warning, and after that, stop, please. Okay? Please. Mr. Quayle.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. But again, the pedicab, I appreciate to get this on the agenda and to get done. I don't know, I've heard something from my competition that rumor that he's selling off some of his pedicabs. Hopefully, he's not going out of business because of the winter. I would appreciate very much that we get this taken care of. There is times where there's some not so ambulatory people that get off the cruise ships that we definitely would be a service to them. We're a taxi camp, okay? And I don't want to be treated like a taxi because I just can't carry as many people as a taxi. One of the things we want to work on is make sure that I want this parity. Like Sitka, the Sitka has $400 for a one-time fee. That's one time, not just every year. Okay. And when it comes to the liability insurance, it's $1 million for liability with it endorsed for pedicab. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. Becca, I'm going to try your name, and if I get it wrong, it is Gagin?
Yeah.
All right.
I've been coaching him.
He was.
make this short for some height. Rebecca Gagin, 3184 Indian Cove Drive. I came to talk about what you are discussing right now in the COW, which is the camping ordinance. As the last time I was here, I was commenting to you about the problem with the homeless population and having sympathy and empathy for them. And I feel like this camping ordinance does not do that. The problem is homelessness. The symptom is camping. Treating a symptom does not help the problem. It's been shown in numerous cities where these kinds of ordinances are passed that it ends up costing more money than helping. And if we're going to spend extra money to help the homeless problem, I'd like to see it go to something that actually helps rehouse people. Thank you.
Thank you. Summerall Shaw.
Sean Summerall. I live at 5597 Anka Street. I wanted to talk on the homeless and the camping ordinance. I don't personally think that that giving them a ticket or making an ordinance, because that closes doors to other people that camp. I enjoy camping. I keep a clean camp. Some people don't keep clean camps, and I could understand how the business owners don't want that trash in front of their stores or people there. But if no one's, you know, they're close to the resources. They use these places around here for food and stuff, and they battle depression, and there's just a number of different things. And just finding them and all that isn't the answer, you know, or you know, putting them into the system isn't the answer. I did 8 years, 4 months in the Alaska Department of Correction as a prisoner, and I see a lot of people come back that have problems with depression and stuff like that. And, just camping, more putting them into the system is just overfilling the system with, you know, there's more. I don't got much time on this, but I definitely have a lot more ideals, like how to make it better for the owners of the businesses that people camp. And I heard someone talk earlier about wars, and there's not really any war on the homeless. I stayed at this shelter for 11 days when I first got out of prison, December 12th. It's a good place. There's a lot of help that comes out of that place to people. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Okay, don't go away yet. Mr. Summerall, any questions for Mr. Summerall? Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ms. Rothbacher. That's okay.
Hi. My name is Paula Gonzalez Rohrbacher, and I live at 314 B Street in Douglas. I am here as a private citizen. I do work at an agency that serves homeless people. And I'm also a board member of an agency that works with folks who experience mental illness. Homelessness and mental illness, along with substance abuse, go hand in hand. I want to speak in about the current weather situation, especially over this past weekend. I spent a lot of the weekend being very, very worried about the people who are out on the street. I know that the Glory Hole, for very good reasons, has bans on people who are who have experienced behavioral problems. They can't be at the Glory Hole because they've been fighting or whatever, or because they're intoxicated. But that means that those people are out on the street in this kind of weather. There are other people who, for various reasons, don't want to be at the Glory Hole, as is their choice. But they're also on the street, and in this very, very cold weather that we've been having, especially with the high winds, I was very, very worried about a lot of the folks. I would really like to see a temporary warming shelter be set up, probably, you know, one of the best places that I've seen suggested would be the bus depot down at the foot of Main Street. It's close to the police. It's basically a concrete box that could be hosed out if necessary. All they need is a warm, dry place to be. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Whoops, Ms. Davis is the next speaker.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Davis. I live at 512 West 11th Street in the Flats neighborhood downtown. And I'm here to speak about some of the things that we've been seeing in our neighborhood for the last 6 months. First, I'd like to extend my sincere thank you to the Juneau Police Department. They've been extremely responsive and kind and reassuring, and yet the problem continues. We have seen an incredible increase in all kinds of theft. Bicycles, car rifling, car gasoline siphoning, and we've had several people with their houses and garage broken into. Just three nights ago, my house, we had someone try to get into the house in the middle of the night, and as you can imagine, it was really scary. It was concerning. And yet I look at the video that was captured by our security surveillance that we had to install, and it's a young kid, and he's part of my community, too. So I'm worried about my family, I'm worried about my neighborhood, and I'm worried about the young men and the young women who are making these choices to steal things, because it's scary for all of us. And I realize that we have limited resources, but I need more information about what the city is doing to address the root causes of the issue. What are we doing about mental health? What are we doing about addiction, and what are we doing about homelessness? Because the information isn't getting out there, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we don't have enough, and I would encourage you to redirect resources from things that can wait to this, which can't wait, because I'm worried it's just a matter of time until somebody's at home when somebody breaks into their house, and then people get hurt. And I don't want that to be a kid or an elderly person. It's just too frightening. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you.
Ms. Cole?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Mandy Cole. I live at 8721 North Loop Way. I am the elusive chair of the Juneau Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. It's real, and it is an organization that's comprised of, I believe, we're somewhere around 42 different members and agencies here in town that provide services to and for people experiencing homelessness and work every day on the problem. So I wanted to first introduce myself and make myself available for any questions you might have now or later. And then I also wanted to just mention that our police chief, who is a wonderful person and whose heart is engaged in this issue, talked a little bit about the choice to live outside and to sleep in doorways. And I want to just take 1 second before we move on any further and talk about what real choice means. I forgot my coat. I left it in my car. And so I'm going to have to walk from this room to my car without a coat. And it's going to be cold, and it's going to be uncomfortable. I think of the idea of staying in a doorway overnight in this weather as not really a real choice. And what I mean by that is many of us who have some security and stability in our lives, who have are free from substances, who have no mental illness or minimal mental illness, we think of choice in a way that other people experiencing those challenges don't think of it. And so I wanted to really challenge you to take your heart out of the seat you're sitting in now and imagine a life where you can't make the kind of choices that we make on a daily basis. And then think about what you need in order to make those choices. I tell my staff at AWARE every day, we will try 100 different ways to reach out to someone. We will try it every day until someone finds some way to connect.
And I would just really encourage you to take that message home. Thank you so much.
Good job. Ms. Cole?
Thank you for coming. Thank you for your letter. I asked this of Mr. Chambour. I mean, is the organization something that could work? I mean, I know you're working on these issues, but specifically to the camping ordinance. If not that, then what?
And many of us have been attending various meetings. You know, one of the issues we might have here is that there's the ad hoc council or meetings that our mayor has graciously started, and then there are a couple of working committees, and you know, I've been at two different meetings thus far about options, and I think there are, you know, that the thing that we're looking at is that there's no one size fits all, right? There's no one answer. But one of the things we know is that what works today might not work tomorrow, and what works for you might not work for her or for him. And so in order to come up with a buffet of options for folks, it takes every person in this community. It takes business workers. It takes healthcare workers. It takes social services people like me. And we need to hear each other, and we need to be at the table. And it's hard when you have so many different people and so many different problems, and there's a lot of hopelessness that goes along with homelessness. I'm not going to lie about that. You know, my heart is full every day of the connections I make with people who want the help I'm so graciously offering. But my heart is also broken every day for the people who can't accept the help that I'm offering for whatever reason. And so it's going to take me, and when I'm tired, it's going to take Kara, and when she's tired, it's going to take Becca, and, you know, we're going to have to all kind of tap in and tap out. But what I hope you hear is that it may make sense intuitively to say if you have to leave this space, that the problem is now at least moved, or it's relocated, or it's reconfigured in such a way that now there's one less option for these people. So maybe they'll have to make a different choice next time. I would challenge you to the fact that most of these folks have lost all of the things that really matter. Many of them have lost their children and connections with their family. And if you think that weighs more than that particular doorway, you're going to be disappointed.
Don't do that, please. Do not.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Cole?
Sorry.
There are more questions. So I guess I need to understand a little bit better what you expect of someone who works with a homeless population and your expertise, because I've heard a lot of things that I'm not understanding. The likelihood of people in the dark and cold of night being moved along, services, the next doorway, what are the likelihoods in your expertise?
Well, one of the things that has always been problematic for our city in outreach, in terms of outreach, is that if you think about what gets a person housed, there are things that have to happen. So, for example, if I go out tonight and I make a contact with somebody who's sleeping in a doorway, I can't just put them into a house. I have to help them fill out an application. I have to help them connect with other resources. They don't have the ability necessarily for me to call them back the next day or to make a follow-up appointment that they're going to be able to make. So in my mind, immediacy of services is important. So being able to offer something right away. You know, one of the things I was talking about in one of these committees when we were talking about camping is like a mobile shower van, in which case there's, you know, an ability for someone to meet a basic need, to get a shower, get something right away, get warm, take care of something. And while they are getting that service, get other services from the smart and caring people in this room who can help connect them with what they need. But that's an immediate thing we can hand somebody, and we almost have to do that for some people. There are plenty of homeless people in this community who jump through all the hoops, who wait the appropriate amount of time and return the phone calls and do all of the things needed in order to get the services that we're talking about. And for some people, they just do not have that capacity. And so we're going to have to try both immediate ways. We're going to have to try long-term solutions. We're going to have to come back day after day after day. But the cool thing is that we do that, and we can do more of that. We just have to give it some time and know that we're talking about the amazing strides we've made in terms of homelessness in the last 10 years. And what you see downtown is, what, 20 people maybe, 15 people? Something that Mr. Chamber was talking to you about. You know, this is a population that has multiple barriers, and so they're going to be harder to work with and harder to house. And so we're going to have to keep trying different things every day.
Thank you.
Ms. White?
Sure. I'll jump in with a question. I also appreciate your letter, and it definitely opens, you know, a lot of discussion, but I want to try to find a way to get the tools from you to help me with what we're faced with is the business owners or the actual employees. The business owners that are closing down at 3 o'clock and sending everybody home. The people who want to go to these businesses who are not comfortable going to these businesses. Business owner made the mistake of having a live outside outlet, and their vacant building got a $4,000 electric bill because somebody was plugging in an electric heater there. So what... And I get that this population of people have definite rights, and those of us who had a better break in life have a moral responsibility to reach out and help. But what do you tell these property owners, these people that are paying their taxes? My friend that has a small business that every time the liquor store stops selling alcohol, the people take it out on his glass. He's spent over $20,000 in the last 5 years replacing glass in the front of his business.
Okay, the question is...
So, I guess, what do I tell them? And I'm really trying to do it without being argumentative.
Sure. But I appreciate that question. And public safety is a concern for every one of us. I really appreciated the last speaker that was talking about how she was afraid, and when she saw the face of the person who was trying to break into her home, realized, oh my God, this is a kid, right? Somebody in my community. I mean, I think what you tell them is what I tell everybody, what I tell my partner, what I tell my friends, what I tell everyone when they are worried and upset about what someone else can do to them or will do to them. The bottom line is you can't control the behavior of another person, but you can control your actions and reactions to it. And so, yes, it is disproportionately impacting some store owners. And I think we should be able to find ways. I heard Ms. Mead and Chief Johnson talk about some possible ways in order to get people who use violence, some form of violence or vandalism. Those things are crimes that we already have on the books. And my friend Maria was, you know, I think the chief talked about her experience with someone who was threatening. I mean, we have some ordinances and some laws that already deal with those kinds of things. And if you're worried about trying to identify the person who's sleeping in your doorway, I hate to say it, but with a small amount of investigation, I think you can come up with that name. We, this community, know who's sleeping in doorways. And maybe you don't know their names right now, but I know them, and I know people who know them downtown, and we can find ways to make sure that if someone's hurting someone else, that that's stopped. That's our public safety our obligation. Our public safety obligation is not to criminalize a behavior that is the very last refuge of someone who doesn't have any other options. And adding tickets or adding fines to someone who's already at the end of their rope, it's not something that is going to benefit any of us. We're still going to have the essential problem. And the essential problem will be using the tools that are already here, trying to figure out how to interpret and try over and over again to keep ourselves safe while respecting the dignity of another human being. It's the best I got for you.
Any other clarification? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Ms. Bailey? Yep.
Okay, I'm very nervous here. My name is Mary Bailey, 24/7 South Franklin. I am homeless. I'm living at the shelter. I would like to say, okay, living at the shelter, being a woman is very dangerous, and there's so many things that could be helpful. One of the things is at the shelter when I see people, I mean, I've been there for a little bit, you see people getting, having to go and not be able to live at the shelter, which is hurtful to see your own friends or your own people end up on the streets. I think you should, they should have paperwork, like have them sign, have give them three warnings or something, and have the paper signed. Because if it's just a verbal warning, it's our word against theirs. And then I had ended up sleeping on the cement in a doorway, and that's very dangerous for a woman to be like that, and scary. I do not, I'm not a vandalist person. I'm not trying to mess up someone's people's place. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to survive. You know, I don't know what else to say. There's the people down there, one way or another, is whether it's mental health, drugs, alcohol, needs help. Well, if they're out there and they're vandalizing or something, maybe they're under drugs, maybe they have some sort of mental illness. They need the help. Someone needs to be there.
Okay, Ms. You Bailey, know? We've reached the end of your time. You want?
Okay, so I don't know.
Mayor, that's the end of her time.
Sorry.
So I just needed to say that to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, any clarification?
No.
Mr. Keel, I thought the yellow was the end of the time.
The loud beep, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Obnoxious beep.
All right. We'll wait for the beep the next time. Thank you. Mr. Ligo.
Hi, my name is Steve Lithgow. I live at 247 South Franklin. I stay at the shelter. I have been there for just a while, but what I've seen is a real lack of help. I've seen people thrown out for just almost no reason. I've seen a real rise of homeless on the street because of these new rules that they're making and things like that. I do believe that if they are going to say something, it should be documented on paper. They're getting away with making up their own rules. They say that they have rules. They don't even follow them. They pick and choose. They don't let everybody, they don't help everybody. They kind of will say, you know, they want to play the good guy, but behind closed doors, it's not really like that at all. And the thing is, they're throwing more and more people out, and you're going to see a rise in more homelessness as the way it's going now. I can already tell. And you're going to probably see more crime because people do get on the streets. It's very cold, and they have nowhere to go. There, and it's desperation what leads them to sleep in doorways and things to get out of the cold of the wind and things like that. I have friends that are out on the street right now and they're freezing to death. And in fact, I know somebody's mother that had recently just died from being outside. And they're not providing the correct help. And I think that they should actually be looked at a lot closer by some state official or something like that because they're not running it correctly. They pick and choose who they would like, and it's just they're not really fair.
Thank you.
Mr. Lutko?
Mr. Mayor, please.
Clarification?
Absolutely. I didn't catch your last name, so I'm sorry. I did catch Steve, if that's okay. You were talking about that rules aren't being applied evenly and fairly amongst people. Can you give me any
Correct.
Examples?
Yes. As an example, yours allowed a stay of 60 days at the Glory Hole, and then at that time, you're offered the choice to enter their PATH program, which is fine, but they won't accept. Now, they've only said that I'm allowed to stay for 30 days for reasons I do not even know. But you're only allowed, they pick and choose who's allowed to get in that PATH program, and which I think everybody should be have a chance to do that. Then they don't give people that choice. People down there are scared to talk to the staff because it's an immediate eviction, and they're out on the street no matter what. They, you know, it's really hard to say because behind closed doors they're different people, and the public and the eye of the public, they want to just shine and say, oh yeah, everything's great. It's not. That is not the truth. I don't know how you would do it without investigating yourselves, but I'm telling you, it is not truly like that. They do not offer help to most of the individuals there. They do help some, but not all. And they don't even follow their own rule book. It's very strange.
Thank you for being brave enough to come talk to us about mm-hmm. this, and I hope the media doesn't use your full name. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lico, apologize. Two very, I think, quick questions. The first, is the Glory Hole full most nights? Or
The Glory Hole is full, and they do let people stay on the floor sometimes and whatnot. It is getting overcrowded, but there's still more room, but they don't. It's very one-sided over there, and if you try and say anything to the staff, you're immediately out, and you're on the sidewalk. And then there is nowhere to really go, per se. I mean, you can, if you get off the sidewalk, well, then you're in the snow, and you're in the wind, and whatever happens, you know. And there is a lot of crime. If you're sleeping on the sidewalk, you're gonna get robbed. You're gonna get beat up. I mean, it's causing crime. There just needs to be more help at the Glory Hole, I do believe. They just need to offer more options for help, and not to be more. The staff needs to be not so one-sided or judging. And there are some people that do come in there, and they are, you know, they cause problems and stuff like that, and they're violent, and I don't believe that they should be there. But there's like 98% of those people are really good people, you know, and they're trying, and I'm telling you, they are trying. But a lot of the help that's supposed to be there, and they say that's there, is not there, and I'm telling you the truth. I live there right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask if Mr. Lico believed people sleeping on sidewalks needed to be forced to get help. I think I know your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Abbott.
Hi, my name is Chloe Abbott. I'm at 1517 5th Street in Douglas. And I'm just a single mom, and since November I've been taking my own time to deliver blankets and coats and boots and whatnot to the people that I've seen on the streets, you know, that are turned away from the Glory Hole due to, you know, substance abuse, and they need help, behavioral and mental help, and that's not really readily available for them. I have personally brought Mary Bailey a coat, and she's had to sleep on the sidewalk, and I've seen young ladies and young men in their 18 to 20 year old range, and some women are pregnant. It's devastating to see what is going on with the homeless population. I feel like, of course, we need to respect the business owners with the fact that, you know, they're concerned about their stores and their safety. That's when public safety should come into play. If there's crimes that are being committed, I'm sure that they can take care of that. But also, you can't sweep the homeless underneath the rug, because where are they going to go? Like he said, they're going to stay on the sidewalk. If they get off, they're going to go in the snow. Then they're going to get sick. Then they're going to die. Then they're going to have medical costs. So I really think there need to be some more avenues for these homeless people. Why don't we have a tent city? Why can't we retract the avalanche concerns and say if they want to stay there, stay at their own risk? Because there's nowhere else to go. For the last week, I could hardly sleep because I live in Douglas and the winds are going up to 100 miles an hour, and I'm wondering how these people are living. How can they survive in this weather? I just think that, you know, I've seen a lot of the community willing to volunteer their time and whatnot. I mean, there's people out there willing to help, and I think that we should utilize their help. Thank you.
Thank you. The last speaker for this time segment, and this time there is another opportunity during the meeting to speak, address the assembly. I can't read the writing, so I'm going to 230 South Franklin Street. Thank you. So if you'll state your name, and we already have your address.
Hi, I'm Teresa Sarabia. I live at 230 South Franklin, which is the Marine View Apartments. My family and I have lived there off and on since it opened in the 70s. So I have seen downtown grow and come into what it is today. I'm here because I am in opposition to another ordinance that's going to tax people or give them fines for money they don't already have. I don't have all the answers. I do believe that the business owner should be respected. However, downtown is for everybody. It's not just for a certain few people. I don't know, you tax $50 per person who comes off on tourism. Maybe some of that should go to some of the issues that we're facing today. Take a slice off of that, and I do think that a camping site should be set up again, because there is no other place to go. The Homeless Connect is coming out this week, and the tribe is going to be giving out sleeping bags again. I it's not a fix. I agree with you that drugs and alcohol are huge. There is no rehab places in Southeast with the exception of two, one in behind Bartlett, and we all know about that one, and the beds are always full, and it's not enough. The mental health is not outreaching to enough people. There are probably a lot of counselors, but no mental health places for them to go. And I feel like we should do something with that, too. As a community, we can't do it alone. I agree with what people have said here. We can't cookie-cut our way out of this, folks. We're in it together. And being born and raised in Juneau and see all the changes throughout the 50s and 60s and to today, it has gotten worse. It's not getting better. I just think that we need to use some of the dollars that you're getting from the municipality, from tourism too, to help. I don't know. It's not an answer for everything, but it's a place to start. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, there is a second opportunity for public participation as we go through this. Which brings us to the consent agenda. Is there a public request for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction? Is there an assembly request for consent agenda changes? Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to have resolution 2781, a resolution reestablishing the assembly rules of procedure, pulled from the consent agenda, please.
Okay. That will be our first order of business following the consent agenda. Any other Seeing none, Mr. Nantrivis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda with the two changes, one by made by Mr. Manager, changes to item 1C, and the one change from Mr. Jones to item 2B. And I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Okay, that takes us to Resolution 2781. Madam Clerk.
A resolution reestablishing the Assembly Rules of Procedure and repealing Resolution Number 2550.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would amend the current Assembly Rules of Procedure. The amendments in this resolution include requests made by the Assembly at its retreat on December 3rd, 2016. The text being added is underlined, the text being deleted is shown by strikeout. The specific provisions being amended are at Rule 5C, 2B, and F, and Rule 6A, and Rule 17.
Very good.
Good timing.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I would move that we bring this up at the next regular assembly meeting. And in the meantime, I have a couple of conceptual amendments I'd like the attorney to work on. I can explain those.
Certainly.
And I understand that some of these were formatting, but if you read through here, there's an awful lot of punctuation that's not correct, which should be apostrophe or equal signs and stuff like that. I understand that there's some issues there. But particularly on page 6, item B at the top, it says, making recommendations to the full assembly regarding the issuance, renewal, or transfer of liquor licenses. And then it goes on, renewal and transfer of marijuana licenses and restaurant designation permits. Restaurant designation permits need to stay with the issues around liquor license, and this does not include the issuance of marijuana licenses, only the renewal and transfer. So that either needs to be reworked, it needs to be included. And I would just remind the body that tonight in the consent agenda, we moved an ordinance for public hearing that talks about the issuance of marijuana licenses. So we need to be consistent. And I would rather the attorney make those wording changes and get them appropriate and bring it back to us than to try to do it tonight.
Madam Attorney?
I can certainly do that. I can tell you that it was a type was not the right word, but the phrase was not included entirely as I had directed it to be, and I didn't catch it when I was reviewing the work. But I understand that I understand what needs to be done. I can certainly bring it back again for that change. But and you are correct. There was a, as I explained earlier, there was a formatting problem when the rules went from PDF to the Word version. And I don't know if that occurred in my office. This is not how this ordinance or the resolution looks on my computer, or if it was converting it to PDF into Novus. But there were things like apostrophes got changed to equal signs, and those, of course, that's not a substantive change. I can change that.
So, Madam Clerk, will you restate the motion, please?
Motion to refer this resolution to the next regular assembly meeting.
Which is the 23rd. Okay, is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. That should bring us to public hearings. Ordinance 2016-09-Z. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $459,909 plus interest through January 10th, 2017 as funding for the IRS arbitrage rebate related to tax-exempt bonds, funding provided by the debt service fund's fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
The 2006 CBJ general obligation bonds have arbitrage rebate owed in the amount of $487,103.60, including interest of $72,108.40 on the rebate liability of $414,923.20. Total liability needs to be paid within 60 days from December 5th, 2016, the date the recently refunded bonds were officially retired. The debt service fund balance has $490,000 available from prior interest earnings and a sales tax funding allocated to pay school bond debt. Assembly Finance Committee forwarded this request to the Assembly at its December 14, 2016 regular meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-09-Z and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none. Ordinance 2016-45. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official land use map of the city and borough to change the land use designation of two parcels located on a fraction of USMS 164 near the end of St. Anne's Avenue in downtown Douglas from natural area park to medium density residential.
Mr. Manager.
In July 2016, the Community Development Department received an application to rezone a parcel located near the end of St. Anne's from D5 to D18. The rezone was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission on September 13, 2016, and the rezone ordinance was introduced at the November 7, 2016 regular assembly meeting. Prior to public hearing, it was discovered that the comprehensive plan map designations of both the subject parcel and the parcel adjacent to it were incorrectly designated as natural park area. Natural park area is defined as, quote, CBJ-owned land suitable for community recreational purposes, which are not to be zoned for residential, commercial, or industrial development. Subject parcels in this ordinance are privately held and are suitable for development. Staff forwarded a recommendation to the Planning Commission that the land use maps be amended to change the parcel's designation from natural park area to medium density residential. Planning Commission considered the map amendment issue at its meeting on November 30th, 2016, and approved making the recommendation to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Seeing none, Ms. Weldon.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2016-45 and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones?
I object for a question. Is there any residential zoning above D18?
No. D18 is the densest residential zone. There are other things like mixed use that you can have denser zoning.
Okay. So medium density residential goes up to as high a residential zone as we can get, the 18?
I think we ought to bring Mr. Stiedel or Ms. McKibben up to answer that question.
More fun with the hands. Without opening my comprehensive plan, I believe that medium density residential is described as 5 to 20 units. So that would be approximately in our zoning districts D5 to D18. We do have zoning districts that have higher density than D18, but as Mr. Watt pointed out, they're not strictly residential. They're mixed use, general commercial, light commercial.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any objection.
Seeing no objection, the motion carried. Ordinance 2016-41-D. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of a southeast fraction of USMS 164 located near the end of St. Anne's Avenue in downtown Douglas from D5 to D18.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, this is closely related to your last action. July 2016, Community Development received an application to rezone a parcel located at the end of St. Anne's in Douglas from D5 to D18. Neighborhood meeting on the proposed rezone was held on August 17, 2016. As we've just discussed, the comp plan had a designation of natural area park, which you fixed. The Planning Commission approved this rezone at its September 13, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? Ms. White?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I ask that the Assembly recommend the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2016-41 be and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Brings us to unfinished business. Liquor license 4405. Madam Clerk.
This is the Tide Complex Incorporated doing business as Dragon Inn Chinese Cuisine Incorporated.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I've been advised by Mr. Jones that the HRC supported their recommendation to withdraw the protest on this license renewal.
Okay.
And given that no action is required by the Assembly.
That would have been my next question, so thank you. Moving ahead. New business. Is there any new business before the Assembly today?
I have no new business.
Staff reports?
No staff reports.
Assembly reports. Mayor's report. And if we could have the committee and liaison reports after that, please. Next Tuesday, January 17th at 7 in the Assembly Chambers, CBJ is holding a public meeting on crime in Juneau. Chief Bryce Johnson will give an overview of what crime is happening in the community, what some of the causes are, what JPD is doing in response, and the steps you as a citizen or business owner can take to protect your property. Again, that's Tuesday, January 17th, 7 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. The second one under the mayor's report is I do plan to work with staff to prepare a resolution reaffirming support of Juneau Access. And that is the mayor's report. Assembly reports. Committee and liaison reports. Start with Mr. Gregory and work our way back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met on January 5th at 5:30. The Nordic Ski Club is looking to expand Nordic ski trails in Juneau. They're currently grooming the Mendenhall Lake Campground Trail and on the Mendenhall Lake, and they are interested in getting more people up to Eagle Crest to use the Nordic trails up there. And those two groups are going to be working together to see if we can get more people skiing at Eagle Crest. They are experiencing a positive change in the cafeteria. They've moved some staff positions around and have changed the way people are able to get food at the Eagle Crest cafeteria, so they are very happy with their changes. On Monday, the Eagle Crest hosted the Guinness Book of World Records largest ski lesson, which was a worldwide event, and we had approximately 65 attendees up there. There were lots of smiling faces, even though it was a very cold and blustery day. Myself and Mr. Nan Curvis were up there to witness the event and served as official witnesses, and it was fun. And next year, if it should happen again, I encourage more people to get up there to learn to ski and snowboard at our local hill. I believe it is also Eagle Crest's 40th anniversary, 40th year of doing business. Glad to see people are still up there and having a good time enjoying everything that Eagle Crest has to offer. In the spring, Eagle Crest is looking to host a free ski and ride event similar to something that occurs like in Haines. And they're looking to have people going up on Hog's Back, which is a mountain near Eagle Crest, for a free ski event. And they're hoping to have a lot of community involvement and community members up there to witness the event. Eagle Crest is also looking to, they're exploring their options with selling beer and wine up on the mountain. And I believe that we will see something coming up soon on our next Committee of the Whole agenda. They're also looking to bring electricity to the Black Bear ski lift in order to, and also looking to expand night skiing in that area. They're trying to eliminate the generators up there on the hill, and it'll also help them to produce snow up at that other area. The approximate cost is looking, they're expected to spend about $250,000, and they'll be looking to the Eagle Crest Foundation for fundraising. And it'll also help to, they're also looking to bring fiber up there for internet connectivity, which will help with weather reporting. And that concludes my report.
Ms. Wilton?
Well, school just got back in session today, so the school board actually meets tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School. So I don't have a report on that because they took a break over the winter also. JEDC, they remind everybody their Innovation Summit will be February 15th and 16th. And if you register by January 16th, you do get a discount. They're focused on entrepreneurship this year. And championships for the STEM robotics occur in Anchorage for high school and middle school this month also. And they are working groups, renewable energy, visitor products, and research all meet this month. And their regular board meeting is coming up at noon on, I don't have a date for JEDC. I think it's this Wednesday or next Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Ms. White?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Not in any particular order. Aquatics Board, people may have noticed this slight uptick in admission prices to the pools for 2017. Out at the Valley Pool, you can now get lunch. They have concessions and sandwiches being sold and other things provided by Heritage Coffee. So stop by, they invite you to stop by for lunch. That helps their bottom line at the pool. Travel Juno, their big exciting news this week is it's been announced that BBC is coming to Juno for 3 weeks in July, and they'll actually do two live broadcasts on their channel out of our capital city. So that's pretty exciting. Maybe get a few visitors from across the pond out of that one. Planning Commission meets tomorrow night. To give you an idea of how long of a meeting it might be, I'm hopeful, although Ms. McKibben just left. The packet is 11 pages, which is nearly unheard of for Planning Commission. They'll be having election of their officers, going through the calendar to make sure meetings work with people's vacations, discussing priorities for Title 49 updates. They will get some presentations that could get them past their 36-minute record meeting, but those will be on Title 49 changes to the parking requirements and an update on the implementation of the Ock Bay Area Plan. But it still sounds like for a Planning Commission meeting could be on the short side. Let's see, I spent some time last week with several property owners looking for areas near downtown that could be suitable for a winter camping type area, and along with the mayor attended the press conference the other day at Juno Police Department. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Ms. Vladishevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Bartlett Regional Hospital Board met on December 27th. I was out of town, but the notes say that they recognized outgoing board members Mary Borthwick and Lori Morton. They're going off the board. Thank them for their service. And Chief of Staff Sharon Fisher, she will no longer be the Chief of Staff there, the position. The union contract was ratified pending a vote of their members, and so that they hope that will be done by the middle of January. Then it will come to the Assembly. The general surgeon candidate, they're trying to hire a general surgeon, will be here now. Hospitalist program starts on January 1. Then they had an executive session about the CEO's contract. They meet next on January 24th. The General Commission on Sustainability met on December 14th. I was at a finance meeting. That's a problem with that committee. I'm trying to figure out if I can ever go to that meeting. So they talked about the CIP, working on incorporating ways to incorporate sustainability throughout city operations. They talked about their energy plan. They had 6 public comment sessions so far, and a meeting is set for January 11th to evaluate the energy plan comments and how to incorporate them and figure out how to finalize that plan. January 12th in the Assembly Chambers, there's an innovation. There's another meeting, Innovative Energy Solutions. Their chicken committee finished its work, and they're going to move a draft to the Planning Commission, the Title 49 Committee. Looking forward to seeing what the chickens did. Next meeting is January 11th for them. And the PRAC met on January 3rd. They had a short meeting this time. They talked a little bit about what they heard, what the master planning, the Parks and Rec master plan, what they heard from the public. They had online surveys, they had a telephone surveys, they had public meetings, heard a lot of things. They spent some time talking about how the committee should work and how motions work, and I think they could use some help from clerk's office on how they should proceed. I suggested they read their packet that they got when they got on that board. They're doing good work there. They also talked about Gennaket Park and concerned about they wanted to pass a motion that to preserve that park in any ongoing, if anything gets redeveloped there. They next meet on February 7th. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. The Human Resources Committee met just prior to the committee of the whole tonight. Main topic of agenda was the liquor ordinance that we've already dealt with. In addition, I would just remind the members that we meet as an HRC committee of the whole on the 23rd of this month to look at candidates for Bartley Regional Hospital Board. That was postponed from December. And then in addition, I passed this out at the committee, they reviewed it. They all have that because they're part of HRC. I would like to bring this up during the HRC on the 23rd to see if there's any general agreement beyond the HRC. Basically, what it is a request for our enterprise boards to look at their boards, to look at the skills, knowledge sets that they feel would make their board successful, which board members have those skills and knowledges to help us in a process when we interview people, what kind of skills are we looking for when we advertise, what kind of skills would we ask applicants about when we interview them. Our enterprise boards have budgets from $1 to $2 million to $100 million. They manage significant assets, docks, harbors, hospital, swimming pools. And I just think it would help us as an assembly if we knew what they thought were the skills and knowledge that their boards should have, and if we can help them recruit the right people and appoint the right people. So I just ask that you read it over. We talk about it on the 23rd. If you care to move it forward, we will. If you don't, we won't. But I thought I would put that idea out there. I think we've sometimes struggled as we've appointed people. What kind of skills would they bring? We ask questions about that, but we don't have a guide about what answers we get. So I'm just passing that on, and that'll be on the agenda on the 23rd. Airport Board meets tomorrow. Downtown Business Association meets tomorrow. And the LEPC meets on Wednesday. They have not met since our last assembly meeting. So those are my liaison reports. I could do a presiding officer if you want me to do that.
That'd be great.
Okay. The only issue I had before us was the Nestler appeal. And on January 4th, Mr. Nestler came in and asked the city clerk if he could withdraw his appeal on the decision of the doggy daycare. Ms. Sika informed the city attorney and myself, and I am requesting, I guess, that the assembly, one, be in agreement to have Mr. Nestler withdraw his appeal, one less thing for us to deal with. And secondly, I believe we have the ability, and I will make the motion, that we return to Mr. Nestler his appeal fee. So there's two issues. One is to accept his withdrawal of the appeal.
Is there any objection to that?
Then your appeal in middle February, you can forget about that. And then I would move that the assembly request that the administration return the appeal fee that Mr. Nestler filed.
Is there any objection or discussion on that? All right.
And that's my presiding officer report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In that case, I'm going to start with my presiding officer report and work backwards. The clerk emailed us all a link to most of the seal trust appeals, the full record, and some of the briefings. The final reply brief is due by January 20th. It's a fairly lengthy record. It wouldn't hurt to get an early start on that part of it. We are on track for the hearing February 1st at 5 p.m. right here. Going back to committee reports and liaison reports, Finance Committee meets Wednesday. We have a packet, should be one in front of you. If you don't have it, let me know. We'll get it to you. Fairly full agenda. And let's see, liaison reports. The Campus Council next meets February the 6th. I have no reports since our last meeting. The Municipal League Board of Directors had a teleconference today in which we discussed a proposed community dividend bill has the potential to replace revenue sharing in comparable amounts. Seems like a reasonably good idea to the board if it happens. So we'll regard that in the somewhat speculative column, but possible. Of more immediate, well, I shouldn't say immediate interest, the board also made a change to how we accept resolutions for the Municipal League. CBJ forwarded one this year. We're going to push the deadline back a little earlier, which should just be great for all of us with elections in October. The deadline will be just shortly before city elections in order to get to the November meeting. So I'm a little facetious when I say ideal. Also, change for some of our affiliates, like the Harbor Masters or the Assessors or the Planners, to propose resolutions. Those of you who were at the conference this year may recall that one affiliate organization submitted some resolutions that had been turned down by their municipalities. So the board created a new rule that you have to have at least one member municipality approve your resolution before the whole league will consider it. That's it for committee liaison comments. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our Public Works meeting today, the first item was talking about our plans to do three different elements at Gastineau School as a part of the restitution, the agreement between the Douglas Indian Association and the school district and CBJ as a result of our remodeling when we inadvertently dug up some graves, and this is the way to make this whole. The project has got drawings and it's being worked on and will be approved and will be put in this summer, spring or summer. We talked about with the state the speed limit at Off Lake Mendenhall Loop And there's a request that we made a request that the state be asked to do another speed study so we can determine whether or not we think there seems to be some concern about some speeds in certain spaces that are too fast. So we asked for another speed study. Michelle Alpers made a very good report on what's happening with our recycle, and we only recycle 10% of our garbage in this town. I guess I was a little surprised about that. There was a public meeting held and pages of ideas from the public, which we saw in teensy-weensy print, but we didn't get to see the whole thing. And if you would like to go see the full report, you can go to junorecycling.com. And we talked about the Mendenhall River erosion decision. A vote was taken, and 19 people said yes, and 14 people said no, as far as wanting to be a part of this project and pay their share. I do not know where that's going. That will have to be determined. I think eventually it would have to come to us if we want to make a change and who has to pay or not. I'm not sure. So that was that. Docks and harbors have been discussing the fee structure. They have made some changes, and one thing was to say that the boathouse people do not have to pay for tide land because no one else does. So that was one thing. They're going to have a decrease in their charges. They're also going to have a meeting the 17th and the 19th to talk about the 17th and the 19th to talk about Bridge Park to Norway Point. The two issues that we talked about at our Docks and Harbor meetings were on the agenda tonight: the full funding for municipal harbor grants and the transfer of money to Stater Harbor from the downtown cruise ships. The chamber had the mayor, nice job, and Carl Yucatel as speakers. The place was packed. I don't know, there's some kind of draw for these two people. I'm not sure why, but you know. Anyway, it's really packed, and you did a really good job. The Alaska Committee has our legislative reception next Wednesday, the 18th, at Centennial Hall. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Nan Kervis.
The Committee of the Whole met last in December. We discussed the airport master plan. No, I'm sorry. I'm going one too far back, aren't I? At our last meeting, we discussed the Jack Pack, the Juno Arts and the Jack Pack, the Performing Arts Center at the Jack. We got an update on that. We did get the airport master plan, We did get that as well. And we also had an update from Ms. Cosgrove on our economic development plan action items and the things we're doing along the lines of our economic development plan. Our next meeting is Monday, the 30th of January, where we will take up shared access again. Apparently, we might see something about alcohol at Eagle Crest. And hopefully, this is my hope, that we see something from BRH regarding CAMU, and we also have our annual meeting with BRH at that time as well. Not sure on that, but that is my hope, and that is next Monday, or not next Monday, but two Mondays from now, January 30th. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Next part is Assembly comments and questions. And then after that will be continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. And as of right now, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 people signed up. So is there anyone else that wants to sign up? Okay. Are you? And Mr. Quayle? It is Mr. Quayle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. And, you know, I truly do want to apologize to Ms. Bailey. I did not mean to cut her off a couple seconds early there. So I will make a point of getting over to see her and let her know that. Clarification questions should be just that, clarification questions of the testimony that you heard. Let's see, what else do we have as far as the mayor's report? I guess the other thing would be, if you haven't had a chance, go up to the City Museum and take a look at the North Douglas mailboxes. How somebody can make a photo show out of mailboxes is astounding, and it's worth a while to go up there and check it out. Mr. Dan Kirkus, we'll go back this way.
Thank you. I just wanted to add on to what Mr. Gregory said. I was fortunate enough to be able to go up to Eagle Crest as well, and I would say what we were called was political sickles, because we were by far the two most underdressed people for that, and we didn't realize that it was going to be blowing whatever it was blowing that day, and 12 degrees or 14 degrees at the lodge. But it was enjoyable anyway. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you. I just have a question from whoever might know. Some years ago, or some time ago, Eagle Crest proposed beer and wine at the lodge. And that didn't happen because of something. I don't know if it's a vote of the people. The assembly said no. Eagle Crest just changed their mind. But they wanted it, and it didn't happen. Does anyone remember why it didn't happen? Because it's coming up again. And it's coming up again, and will we meet up with the same problems, or will it be something different? And Mr. Gregory seems to know the answer here, Mr. Mayor.
I believe it may have been the members of the Eagle Crest board at that time.
Of the whose board?
The Eagle Crest board.
Oh, okay.
And I did want to clarify that they plan to submit their proposed ordinance through the Human Resource Committee before it goes to the Assembly.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess on that point, it has potential. I would want to hear from our risk management folks and also contemplate. I don't think there are any restaurant, beverage, beer and wine licenses, I forget the right name, left. So I don't know how that works. For another one, if nobody lives within a one-mile radius, to sign the public interest license form. So I look forward to reading the packet. That's going to be an interesting one. Let's see, comments and questions. So I want to start off by congratulating the synchronized skating team of the Juno Skating Club. They went down to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and took fourth place, which was pretty darn cool for a young team to do that well in Wisconsin. They did the capital city proud. Ms. Becker mentioned the Alaska Committee's annual legislative reception. I hope we'll all be able to attend that and welcome legislators and staff to town, along with the folks who work with them, and just encourage everyone to take an opportunity to welcome them back to the capital city and make them feel welcome. If you have the opportunity to meet up with them around town or invite them to dinner, or it's tough maintaining two households. And so all our efforts to be a good and a welcoming capital city are much appreciated by those folks who come here for 3 or 4 months a year. Would like to encourage everyone to attend the Martin Luther King Jr. Day observances. Obviously, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's the 16th, St. Paul's Church in the Valley, 1 p.m. as usual. I did have a question prompted by one of Ms. Becker's report items about the Mendenhall River erosion and that area out there. I am having a failure of memory about how the LID process works and where the city is in terms of working with the Natural Resources Conservation Service and others. We got a briefing many moons ago at the Assembly about this. What are the next steps given the vote on the informal ballot on the LID?
They will continue to discuss with the property owners and explain it more clearly, I guess, if they feel they need to. the city supposedly has no liability in this issue. It is between the property owners and the federal government. And the federal government is going to pay at least 75% of the amount. And some of the people who said yes, they would approve it, were outside of the zone that actually has to have the improvement because of the danger that it's in. So I don't think it's over. I think there's more work that has to be done and more discussing with property owners.
Ms. Becker, could we probably get Public Works to get to go with Mr. Keel?
And we could have Public Works come in and discuss it with us if you'd like. Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. A couple of things. Also at Public Works, they talked about probably that the federal group will be down here toward the end of the month and meeting with the property owners again.
Okay.
At the first meeting that was held that I attended, they were talking $20,000 or $25,000 is what the property owners might pay. This advisory on an LID was for $100,000 per property. That probably got a lot of negative votes. There are two issues involved here. The federal agency can act on itself and collect from the property owners, or the city can become a party of that and collect the money and put its 25% in via the LID. So it's outside of our normal LID process. So I just encourage Mr. Keel to go to the public meeting when it's held toward the end of January or early February, because I know they'll be down. I'm on the mailing list, so I'll make sure you know when it is. Secondly, I wanted to make a comment to the manager. Mr. Chambor, during his presentation, talked about the Housing Coalition working with the foundation on the social services money that we gave them. I would remind him that there is an agreement between the foundation and the city, signed by the city manager and approved by the assembly, as exactly what those funds are. And they don't necessarily include some of the things Mr. Chambor stated that they were working on. So I want to make sure that that's clear and cautious on that one, because we gave that money for a specific purpose that had been used, and it's well laid out in the agreement signed by the city manager, and Mr. Chambor works for the city manager. Secondly, as part of the discussion around the housing, I know Mr. Chambor's big into housing, so housing had a primary purpose. But if you look at the normal continuum of care for homeless and disadvantaged people and mentally ill, housing is a major part, but it's not all. He never described what the supportive services were, and they cost money. And the way I read the federal government and the way I read the state government, it's going to be less and less of that. Several communities in the lower 48 have been talking about a small portion of their sales tax being part of a mental health substance abuse tax that would help pay for some of the services to help keep people off the streets, something we might want to look into. I know it just failed at Pierce County down in Tacoma. The city approved it. The county did not. They were going for like 0.1%, which would have given Pierce County almost $10 million a year. We'd have a lot less, but maybe something to consider, because if we're not going to get the federal money and we're not going to get state money, then we won't have the services. We can put somebody in a house and they get absolutely no services. They either won't stay there or they'll do something bad and get kicked out. So I think that's something that we need to pay more attention to, or what are the supportive services surrounding the housing, not whether housing has some supportive services just to keep the person there. And without that full continuum of care of all those services, and not simply have a chart up here that says nothing but housing, we're not going to go anyplace. And $175,000 to Bartlett is not going to solve your harmless problem in terms of supportive services. I'm sorry. Just not going to do it. So those would be my cautions about sort of what we heard tonight is other things that we're doing besides the camping ordinance, that it's, in my mind, way too narrowly focused without much of a chance of any of us putting in any money. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Journalist. Mr. Blood. Ms.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to talk about the homeless issue. I appreciate the mayor having those ad hoc meetings because it really got people talking, but they are just that, ad hoc meetings that some people come, and there's been two as far as I know, and someone immediately jumped to a camping ordinance, which could be part of a big continuum of things we do. It's got a name, continuum of care. I mean, there's so much a body of knowledge with people who know who we haven't consulted with, in my opinion, enough. So I don't know if we could have a committee or more meeting, because I think that, I mean, just things I downloaded today, housing not handcuffs, ending the criminalization of homelessness in U.S. cities from the National Law Center on the Homeless and Poverty, No Safe Place, more criminalization of homelessness, something called Searching Out Solutions, Constructive Alternatives to the Criminalization of Homelessness. There's a lot of stuff here. And we're in good company in the sense that cities all over the country have faced this problem and are trying to, many of them are trying to do the same thing we are doing. And there's been an uptick in these kinds of things that have shown, as one of the people from the Housing Coalition said, to not really solve the problem. It makes people feel better because you move them a little bit. But I just think it's a bigger problem that we've only begun to talk about, and I would like to hear from the Juneau Coalition on Homeless, who have been meeting for a long time, who know a lot more than certainly I do. So, I don't know. Come to a committee of the whole, or a homeless committee, something that's just not the only avenue being the housing or the camping ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Borchers. Ms. White.
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Walton.
Just remind everybody that the JPD is hosting the encouragement rally on January 17th, noon to 1 p.m. at the Capitol Steps.
Okay. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So earlier last week, I had an opportunity to meet with a representative from the National Council Against Alcoholism and Drug Dependency, and we had a nice chat about, I guess it wasn't necessarily a nice chat, but we had a long chat about opioid use and the epidemic in our community, and I encouraged her to talk with the city manager and also the mayor about getting on our agenda, or at least coming in during our public comment period. To share her knowledge and information that she is gathering with us about an issue that is occurring right here in our community and ways that we as a community can come together to deal with the issue and find solutions. And so I hope that she is listening and that she takes us up on our public comment period to come in and share some information with this body.
Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people signed up. If you would go no later than 4 minute speech. Cynthia Dahl.
I am Cynthia Dow, 2335 Meadow Lane, born and raised here, and I want to thank you all for everything you're doing. But we're not here to fix everybody's problems. We have programs for that. I think, if anything, maybe somebody might want to put themselves in charge of following up and touching base and seeing how these programs are following through with people. I know people that I could have invited to a meeting tonight. They don't know what day of the week it is. They have no reason to care. I want to tell you that being born and raised here, I used to look forward to Henry Lang directing traffic down in the middle of town. He was allowed to camp. He was allowed to have fires. He was fed. He was protected. And people were always happy to see him. That's not the case anymore. I can also tell you in my recent time downtown here, I have seen a very big division of the population. It seems like we have a population that comes from the camp out Thane that seem to me to be very harsh, people that I'm not real fond of interacting with. And then we have the ones that when I was working downtown, I made it my business to check on them. I don't work downtown anymore. In the winter months, for years, I've been alone, and I want to see those faces. I call them my faces. It took me a long time to earn trust. A long time. Ricky is gone. Chief is gone. Gloria is gone. I can give you a list of names that the system just failed. And part of it is they don't want to be a part of a system. I can tell you that I can come in here and I can be agitated and protective when something affects my family, my property, my investment. But when it comes to these spaces and these people that have no voice, it just incites me. It makes me feel like everyone is looking down their nose at people. And let me interrupt myself and say, I agree. They should not be leaving garbage on people's porches. But I might be providing that garbage. I tuck cardboard under people. I put plastic bags around them. I give them food, coffee cups. I don't encourage them to poop or pee. But if I can't go into a bar and use a bathroom, I have no place to go either. They're not allowed in the bars. Liquor stores are closed. They don't have a bathroom. Where are they supposed to go? These are humans here. Let's get a warming station. It's simple. I don't have measurements that you like. I don't have a place. I've emailed people. I don't get emails back. I don't know what code is. I don't get an email back. A simple warming station. I have a contractor ready to go. If you will provide a generator, a heater like they have overhead at Fred Meyer's, and a bus station. We can put a porta potty outside. They're not going to use that as a hiding hole. Trust me, it's going to be cold and stinky in there. Let's just provide the basics, and let's provide the tools that they can just get in touch with the people in the know. If they don't want to be in touch with people in the know, they don't want to follow through, they don't want wet housing, leave them alone. It's their life. And maybe if we do everything right, maybe we won't have another generation. Do you know any of their names? I can tell you three that I said hi to on my way in here. We all get to go home, warm and cozy. They don't. No questions?
Any clarification?
Just a warming station, please.
Thank you very much. Mark Browns. Dane Kemp.
I love that lady. I just got here a few years ago from Phoenix, Arizona, and they're taking 800 to 900 almost nowadays of homeless people. And it's very simple. Like she was saying, they got the building you're building over on the nice little houses on Anchor Street. One third of that money you can erect a nice warehouse. There, a couple of salamanders and a stack full of mats like this. In at 9, out at 7. We're talking hundreds of people a night. And they, yep, you're not going to stop from doing meth. They can stop from drinking. You can't kick them out like the door hole unless you're too far intoxicated. Go to Lemon Creek. But they're very efficient what they do. And there's no problems. They need a roof and some heat. But down there, they need a roof and some air conditioning. But yeah, it's very effective. And I'll admit, I'll be honest with you, I got kicked out of the glory hole one night. And here's a blanket. Where am I going to go? Find a hole. Find a hole. You can't sleep in front of these businesses. Oh, yes, you can. I'm like, I can't believe that. And I was like, I slept under a parking garage. Here's someone working. Got a job the next morning, but I couldn't believe it. If I had a business, I'd say out of my heart, I'd say, all right, you can stay there. But clean up. Make it like nobody was there before I go to work. It don't work like that. See, kids can't make their beds in the morning and take out the trash. And they don't want a high school diploma. They want math. And a place to eat. In a doorway. That's why they're there. Go. If you don't do your chore, you're going to the glory hall. And that's where they end up. But she hit the head on the nail. Because I believe. Here's your mat. That's your kind of problem. And you spend all this money on nice apartments. And one person from the coalition, there's a little beacon there, told me that these nice little apartments are going to be given for the people sleeping on the streets. No, you got to earn it. You got to do something to make yourself better to earn an apartment or get a mat. Simple as that. No way, well, if they want help, they'll get it. If they don't, here they're mad.
Hey, Mr. Kemp, is there any clarification questions? Do you have a street address?
I'm temporary.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Rothbacher?
Pretty close.
Close enough. He'll answer to it.
Working on my best German. Come on. And if you'd state your name and address, please.
Sure. I'm Deacon Charles Rohrbacher. I live at 314 B Street in Douglas. But I'm also assigned to the cathedral and work for the Diocese of Juneau. Although I'm not here representing them, I'm speaking for myself. I wanted to just speak briefly to the ordinance that you're considering amending the land use code relating to sobering centers and emergency shelters. To just express, I know this is really complicated. It's difficult. But I keep looking at that word emergency. And I was thinking, I had a person call me a couple of weeks ago who works at JV, actually, who works for the Red Cross. She called me up about 11 o'clock at night and said, can you give me a ride out to the Red Cross because somebody's house burned down and we've got to get out there and help them out. And so this young woman who was working for the Red Cross got out there and was within an hour was helping people get resettled whose house went up in flames. Well, it seems to me that was an emergency. It also seems to me that the situation of people in the cold, people since November, which this this particular ordinance has been under consideration, that's an emergency as well. And I'm concerned that this has been pushed forward, again, an emergency situation where people, many of whom are mentally ill, are out on the streets for, again, all the different reasons that we know that they're really at great risk because of that. And when I see the word emergency again and again in the ordinance, it seems that I'm not seeing an emergency response. And again, if these people had lost their homes because their houses burned down, we'd be right on it. They're on the street, many of whom are on the street because they're mentally ill. And again, through no fault of their own. And much of the substance abuse, much of the drinking and the use of drugs is tied into their mental illness. And so I would ask you to continue working on this ordinance, but also ask the city to act as if this is an emergency and do something whatever it takes. Right now, well, it's as cold as it is to find places for these men and women who are living on the street to be safe and to be warm. I think if we, I saw that word assisted living. Again, if the people in our assisted living facilities were suddenly put out on the street, we'd do something about it right away. And so one last thought, and that is this is going to get worse because of criminal justice reform. Many of the mentally ill who are now being held in our prisons and jails here and around the state are going to be out on the street. And we're going to be seeing more and more people who are homeless. I commend your efforts to try to address this in a comprehensive way, and that's very important to do. And again, I would urge you, though, to, in this situation, act with as promptly as you can to address this emergency situation. Thank you.
Thank you. And it will be coming back before the assembly in the week, the 23rd, I believe.
Right. That's a long time. That's a long time to be out in the cold. And as I say, I understand that, but I would hope you would act, or the city would act, or the city manager, or whoever has the power to do that, to do something in the interim so that people who are cold and freezing can get off the streets.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Quayle.
Right on the subject. One of the reasons why I ran is because of homelessness. 415, William Quayle, 415, Willoughby. One of the reasons I ran for assembly is because of this problem. And everybody in this room, and take this with big, huge block letters, it can happen to anyone. And you should treat it like it can happen to anyone. That is very important. Okay? That includes the ordinance. Okay? Just think if you, that happened to you and you had to go camp. Okay? Because when you have a situation when you're like when you're trying to camp in your car, okay, sometimes that's the only place to go. In fact, in Alaska it's better to do that or the bears get you. Okay? It is very important you do that. Now I'm very fortunate I have my voucher. Okay? And without it here, you're really in dire straits. And you gotta get it so you have a transition. I like to see transitional housing where they at least 6 months where they don't have to pay anything. Now you might wanna have to get grants to get that taken care of. In your city, Eureka, they do it for a year. Okay? And the condition is you have to be looking for a job. You have to be clean and sober, and you have to do your chores. Now, if you do that, like we have a facility, but the thing is, can you handle this enough? It's better that you, when it comes to camping, if they want to sleep in their car, have a designated area. It's way out in the boonies somewhere. Nobody's going to bother them. That's an ideal situation. Okay. You don't want to be, and it's actually, because of the vouchers, if you have a condition because of the vouchers, if you have a misdemeanor, you can't get your voucher. So it's better that they keep their nose clean, okay? If you do this, then you stay out of trouble. If you have an area that's designated where they're not going to get ticketed for sleeping out there, okay, that's the best way to do it. And I strongly... The idea when it comes to heating, yes, that's very, very important. I had to use, I had a propane heater during the winter, and it got down to 10 degrees. So I've weathered the storm, okay? I mean, I've done it. And it's not cool. It really isn't. And every time I pay my rent, I pinch myself, you know, because I'm glad, very glad that I have a place now. But I've been there, and it's not cool. And it... One of the major problems is because the rent is so freaking high. Okay? You got to get it so the state legislature's got to do something. In fact, a representative was just here today They got to get that reimbursement down to $800. They pay them $2,300. It's way too much, and that's the one of the reasons why the rent's so high around here. Instead of a nice big letter to the state legislature that they should lower that if they want to save some money, okay, and quit paying our legislators so much money for rent. Because the landlords are going to lower it as soon as that happens. It's going to help a lot. But when it comes to the, you can treat it like it, the homelessness like it can happen to you, all right? That's very, very important, okay? Because if you have a natural a disaster, you have a fire, or that can happen to you, okay? And don't say it's not going to happen. I've been an insurance agent for 40 years. It can happen, believe me. But when you got to get it, yeah. You got to treat this like you don't want to be criminalizing somebody for being homeless. That is not right. Even citing them for infraction, that's not cool.
Clarification questions? Thank you, Mr. Royal.
Thank you.
There's no executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like clarification. I believe that Mr. Rohrbacher was talking about Ordinance 2016-43. You said it was going to be back before us on the 23rd. I thought the motion amending of the CO of the consent agenda was that it would go to the COW, which doesn't meet until the 30th.
That was my mistake.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood that it would be at the committee the whole before it got to the assembly. Thank you.
Anything else? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.